RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia urged ASEAN to focus on human rights protection. Indonesian Air Force launches operation in Timor-Leste-Australia border. Now the news in detail. Indonesia emphasized 3 points that need to be done by ASEAN member countries related to the protection of human rights. Indonesia strongly emphasized that human rights issues should be one of the most important points of all ASEAN working systems. Indonesia asks all ASEAN member countries to provide cooperation so that the ASEAN Commission for Human Rights Protection, AIZHR, can perform its stance well. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi when met in Manila, Philippines on Friday. She further said that more importantly, the AIZHR also needs to focus on protecting the rights of vulnerable people.
Ada beberapa isu yang Indonesia menilai pentingnya bagi AIZHR untuk memfokuskan.
There are several issues that Indonesia consider important for AIZHR to focus on its jobs. They are those related to the protection of vulnerable groups, including migrant workers, democracy, peace, moderation, and attention to terrorism and radicalism. During the meeting of ASEAN Minister and Representative of the ASEAN Commission Human Rights Protection, AIZHR, Minister Retno Marsudi further said that it is important for the human rights protection to provide an understanding of human rights for young people, especially students. This can be carried out through the provision of education school and through the media. The El Tari Air Base in Kupang is Nusa Tenggara entity launched 2 operations in areas the border Indonesia, Australia, and Timor-Leste. Commander of El Tari Air Base, Colonel Roni Monika, told journalists in Kupang on Friday that the operation will last for a month to prevent violation of borders. He also explained that the operation are aimed at monitoring Indonesian archipelagic sea lane in the water of East Nusa Tenggara, the borders with Timor-Leste and Australia. He said the Bureau rather frequently detects illegal activities in Indonesian territories, thus these border areas are vulnerable. In this operation, the Indonesian Military Air Force, TNI AU, deployed 2 T-50I fighter jets 3 times a day to watch the border areas. To this day, the Air Force has not found any violation of the country's airspace and water territories. Colonel Ryan revealed that the El Tari Air Base will be developed into a Type A air base to accommodate a fighter squadron. Google Asia Pacific and Indonesian government are cooperating in blocking negative content such as radicalism, terrorism, pornography, and hoax. Several internet providers as well as top industry applications will also cooperate in this program. Minister of Communication and Informatics Suryantara said in Jakarta on Friday that both the government and Google discuss how to improve the service level in handling negative content such as on YouTube. He also said that the handling of negative contents on YouTube has only been done through email complaints. Google and the Communication Ministry will apply new program and system dubbed Trusted Flagger and Legal Remover by the end of this month. This news is coming to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bajuang administration in Java has confirmed that it will develop the green airport concept. Bajuang region Abdullah Aswar Anas has said in Bajuang recently that this region boasts a digital society, said that the administration will not only develop roads but also technology. As a result, Bajuang tourism has gained popularity among both domestic and foreign tourists. Thus, the administration will revitalize the air transport sector. He said that the airport is the first green airport in Indonesia using regional budget. He detailed if the airport uses the state budget or APBN, it will cost 300 billion rupiah, but if the regional budget, it's only 75 billion rupiah. He said the green airport concept will not require an extensive agriculture farm. He added that the agricultural land should be owned by the people. Moreover, the concept will also use interior design products made by locals. Aswar Anas also remarked that he wants to ensure the green airport will not take up a lot of space. The land should instead be used for agricultural landscapes. Indonesian state-owned trading company PT Perusahaan Perdagangan and Russian state-owned company Rosteq have signed a memorandum of understanding to barter Indonesian agricultural commodities for Russia jet fighters. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said in a statement on Friday that the barter deal, which is under supervision of the two governments, will involve 11 Sukhoi Su-35 jet fighters and several commodities like coffee, palm oil, and tea. Minister Enggar Tias is on official visit to Russia from August 3rd to 5th, hopes that the agreement would be followed by other agreements in other sectors. Russia is currently facing economic sanctions imposed by the United States and European Union. In response, Russia has limited imports for the U.S. and European Union and is looking to other countries for commodity imports. The last item, the provincial government of Jakarta, Indonesian city government of Moscow, Russia have extended a memorandum of understanding, MOU, on sister city cooperation. Jakarta Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat and Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin have signed the MOU in Moscow recently. Under the MOU, Governor Hidayat expects to replicate and implement Moscow's existing urban planning system in Jakarta, especially in terms of public transport. He also said the roads in Moscow are almost identical to those in Jakarta with the same traffic jams, but the integrated subway is very good and enjoyed by the public. Through the MOU that has been extended after it was first signed in 2006, Jakarta will attempt to implement Moscow's method in the construction of mass rapid transit and light rail transit that had been carried out in Jakarta. Meanwhile, Moscow is keen to develop cooperation in the field of sports. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Edward Word Service Voice of Indonesia with Press Review. Various important events occurring this week have been featured in the editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in Press Review. Let's start the press review from Media Newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, 3rd August, writes drug abuse behind prison. In many cases, prisons should be places for the prisoners' detention, but it is often a safe place for inmates to continue to commit crimes. In the last case, the ranks of the Indonesian Police Criminal Research Investigators foiled the smuggling of 1.2 million ecstasy pills from the Netherlands worth 600 billion rupiahs. Police not only arrested three perpetrators and shot dead one other person, but also revealed the fact that the smuggling of ecstasy pills was controlled by Aseng, a convict of 15 years sentenced in a drug case now in Nusa Kambangan prison. Media Indonesia writes that all parties are concerned that there are still prisoners who can control the drug business from prisons. The Daily asked the authorities to investigate thoroughly why Aseng can still handle the drug business from prisons and to take firm actions against those involved. Media Indonesia writes that increased oversight is a necessity. It must all be done so that prisons do not become a haven for drug dealers who bring hell to the nation. Over now to Sindo newspaper. In its editorial on Tuesday, 1st August, the paper writes, controversy over Hajj pilgrimage funds. Although still in the form of discourse, the idea of investing the funds of the Investment Hedge Operation Cost, or BPIH, in the field of infrastructure has drawn public responses, even sharp controversy. The diverse community reactions show that the management of pilgrim funds must be done very carefully. Indeed, on the one hand, pilgrimage funds collected that reaching tens of trillions rupiahs are very tempting to be utilized. On the other hand, the government with minimal funds needs to realize the infrastructure project is eyeing the hedge funds so they can be optimized. Consider right that there is a sharp controversy in the community about the use of hedge funds. It is reasonable because the pilgrim funds are not ordinary funds but public funds deposited for the journey of worship to the Holy Land. As affirmed by Director of Management of Hedge Fund and Hedge System of Ministry of Religious Affairs, Ramadan Harisman, the utilization of hedge funds from investment in various sectors actually do not need to ask permission from Hajj pilgrims who have entered the fund because the pilgrims have signed a form of wakala akad or agreement when putting the deposit. Meanwhile, Minister of Religious Affairs Luqman Hakim Saifuddin made it clear that the investment Hajj operation costs may be managed for profitable or productive method, including the financing of infrastructure development with reference to the constitution and fiqh rules. Previously, President Joko Widodo wanted the management of Hajj funds, which have reached 93 trillion rupiah, to be optimized to the productive sector without interrupting the scheduled departure of Hajj, while hoping Hajj funds could be allocated as investment on infrastructure development. That was Press Review.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our program. Today in history, we start with an incident of tribal Ecuador earthquake which killed 6,000 people. On August 5, 1949, a massive earthquake with a 6.8 Richter scale struck Ecuador and devastated 50 cities and killed at least 6,000 people. In the earthquake which centered at the Ambato, the entire city and settlement were incredibly destroyed. That's why evacuation of victims affected by the building was quite difficult to carry out. So many other countries helped the recovery process. In addition to that toll, reportedly thousands of other residents also lost their homes. Let's move to the next event, the inauguration of Hotel Indonesia. Hotel Indonesia is the first start hotel built in Jakarta, Indonesia. It was inaugurated on August 5, 1962 by First President Sukarno to welcome the Asian Games 4 in 1962. Hotel Indonesia building was designed by architect Abel Swanson and his wife Wendy from United States. Occupying a land area of 25,082 meters square. The hotel has the slogan, a dramatic symbol of three nations walking together. This hotel is designated as cultural heritage by Regional Governor of Jakarta with the issuance of Jakarta Government Decree number 475, March 29, 1993. We end today in history with the incident in 2003 on which JW Marriott bomb killed 14 people and injured 156 people. A large-scale bomb exploded in front of the JW Marriott Hotel Lobby, Mega Kuningan area, South Jakarta, on August 5, 2003 at around 12:45 Western Indonesian time, while hotel guests were enjoying lunch. The bomb was brought by car and it was triggered via cell phone. It was found at the crime scene. JW Marriott Hotel is located in the Golden Triangle area, close to the official complex of Jalan Denpasar and the Foreign Embassy complex. In the Raja Wali Tower next to the JW Marriott Hotel, for example, there are Finnish Embassy Office, Sweden, Norway, and Peru. about 200 meters from the Meerut is the channel's MC. Listener, that was Today in History from Aero Rival Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Aero Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on Indonesia calls for support for Palestine at OIC meeting. Stay tuned. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, held an extraordinary open meeting for the OIC Executive Committee in Istanbul, Turkey on Tuesday, August 1, 2017. The meeting was on proposal of Indonesia and several other countries, especially the Executive Committee member states. It was held to respond to Israeli violence and restrictions on worshippers in the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. In the meeting, Indonesia was represented by Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi, who called for support for the Palestinians associated with the crisis in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Indonesia strongly condemns the restrictions on worship at Al-Aqsa Mosque and the related violence that has taken its toll. Retno Marsudi warned that Muslims should unite and take concrete actions to help the Palestinians. She stressed the need for OIC member countries in various forums, including the United Nations Security Council, to put pressure on Israel to change the policy of violence applied in Palestine. In addition, Israel should comply with all United Nations resolutions related to Palestine. Minister Retno Marsudi also proposed that the OIC immediately requests the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva to hold a special meeting to discuss the situation of human rights violations in Al-Aqsa. According to her, Israel must be held responsible, especially since the incident that occurred in Al-Aqsa was not the worst: violence, illegal occupation, as well as actions that violate human rights must all be accounted for by Israel. Minister Retno Marsudi said the incident at the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex is a reflection of violence policies that violate human rights and the impact of Israel's ongoing illegal occupation of Palestine. She added Israel should restore stability and ensure the status quo of the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Related to that, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi proposed that the OIC take steps to provide international protection against the Al-Aqsa compound as a sacred complex for three religions, namely Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, as well as a World Heritage Site. Violence within the Al-Aqsa Mosque followed the installation of metal detectors by Israeli authorities due to attacks on security personnel. Clashes also resulted in casualties. The Indonesian Foreign Minister used the meeting in Istanbul to reaffirm the importance of reenacting peace talks based on the principle of a two-state solution. The meeting has resulted in a final communique which contains various inputs from Indonesia. That was Focus Today.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia emphasized 3 points that need to be done by ASEAN member countries related to the protection of human rights. Indonesia strongly emphasized that human rights issues should be one of the most important points of all ASEAN working systems. The Eltari Air Base in Kupang is Nusa Tenggara entity launched 2 operations in areas that border Indonesia, Australia, and Timor Leste. Commander of the Eltari Air Base, Colonel Rani Moninka, told journalists in Kupang on Friday that the operation will last for a month to prevent violation of borders. Google Asia Pacific and Indonesian government are cooperating in blocking negative content such as radicalism, terrorism, pornography, and hoax. Separate internet providers as well as top industry applications will also cooperate in this program. Minister of Communication and Informatics Ridhanta Setty in Jakarta Pradeh that watched the government and Google discuss how to improve the surface level in handling negative content such as on YouTube. Banyuwangi administration in Java has confirmed that it will develop green airport concept. Banyuwangi Region Abdullah Aswar Anas has said in Banyuwangi recently that this region boasts a digital society, said that the administration will not only develop roads but also technology. Indonesian state-owned trading company PT Perusahaan Perdagangan and Russian state-owned company Rosteq have signed a memorandum of understanding to barter Indonesian agricultural commodities for Russian jet fighters. The provincial government of Jakarta, Indonesian city government of Moscow, Russia, have extended a memorandum of understanding (MOU) on city-city cooperation. Jakarta Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat and Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin have signed the MOU in Moscow recently. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, we meet again in Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will introduce you Purnama Beach in Bali. So stay tuned with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to our broadcast via www.voi.co.id. Listener, Gianyar Regency is famous for its art craft. As a result, Gianyar Regency gets the label as the World of Art. Besides its famous name, Gianyar is also well known for its beautiful scenery. One of them is Purnama Beach. The location of Purnama Beach is near Professor Dr. Ida Bagus Mantra Bypass Main Road. The exact location is in Banjarlupang Telabah, Sukawati Village, Sukawati Sub-Regency, Gianyar Regency. From the heart of Gianyar City to Purnama Beach, the distance is approximately 11 kilometers. If you go to Purnama Beach from Ngurah Rai Airport, you will take approximately 50 minutes by car, while from Denpasar, it will be approximately 35 minutes. Listeners, Purnama Beach tourism object has black sand that glistens like a crystal, especially when it is exposed to sunlight. Almost all beaches have huge ocean waves and strong current. It is advisable not to bathe in the beach area, and if you want to keep bathing, you have to be careful. You can also enjoy the beauty of this exotic beach without having to bathe in the beach area. Listener, during the full moon phase, this beach is very crowded. It is visited by a lot of visitors. That's the reason why this beach is named Pantai Purnama. Purnama means full moon in Indonesia. In the full moon, the beach is very crowded with tourists, especially in the afternoon. The reason is because at that time, the beauty of the moon will be at its finest shape. The beauty of it is hard to explain, especially when the moon appears slowly from above sea level. In the morning, you will also be hypnotized by the beauty of the sunrise creeping up from the sea. Besides, as a tourism destination, Panama Beach is also often used as a place for religious ceremonies by local residents. The activities that you can do if you go to Panama Beach are relaxing there while enjoying the calm beach atmosphere, sunbathing that usually done by foreign tourists, playing alongside the coastline because Panama Beach has a wide and sandy area serving because this beach has waves and fishing. Besides sunbathing, the visitors can also bury their body while enjoying the warmness of the beach sands that is claimed to have an ability to cure some diseases. Listener, Panama Beach is often visited by tourists, both local and foreign tourists. The local residents take advantage of this situation by selling various foods and beverages. The local government has made Panama Beach as a tourist destination. Thus, the local government provides many facilities to the beach, such as the well-constructed roads that can be passed by cars and motorcycles. In addition, there are spacious and safe parking areas, food and beverage stalls, and villas for the visitors who want to spend their holidays at Panama Beach. To go to Panama Beach, the visitors do not have to worry for the transportation access. Besides taking the private cars, you can also use public transportation. If you use public transportation, you can take the transportation to Sukawati bus terminal. Then, you can continue your trip by using a motorcycle taxi or private vehicle to Panama Beach. Listeners, before you have a holiday in Panama Beach in Sukawati Gianyar Bali, you have to check out the weather first so you can enjoy your vacation without obstacle. In addition, you should also prepare the needed stuff such as your drinking water supplies and personal items. Listeners, that's today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. If you are going to take a vacation, make sure that you choose Pantai Purnama in Sukawati, Gianyar, Bali as your holiday destination. That's all Indonesian Wonder for today. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Very Web Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, it's me, Alika, as we meet again in Miscellany. Well, listeners, in this Miscellany edition, we will talk about Dieng Culture Festival, or DCF 2017, that will take place in Banjarnegara, Central Java, starting from 5th to 6th of August 2017. Listen. listeners, the series of program of DCF 2017 are mostly held at the Arjuna Temple Complex, Banjarnegara, Central Java. This 14th festival highlights the slogan, "The Spirit of Culture." The visitors are presented with the sacredness of ancient civilization culture of Dien society, which is packaged with jazz music entertainment from guest stars and the natural beauty of the country above the clouds. Slamet Budiono, head of Dieng Kulon Village Batur Sub-District Banjarnegara Central Java, said that on the first day, visitors will taste a variety of unique culinary of Dieng such as ongklok noodles, karika, and purwa cheng, and see creative products of small and medium businesses at Dieng Plateau Complex. In the evening, visitors will witness music performances just on the cloud. The next day, they will watch the panoramic sunrise at various mountain peaks of Dieng Plateau. Among the most famous peaks are of mountain, they are Mount Pro and Bukit Sikunir. When the sun rises, visitors will go around a number of tourist sites in Dieng complex, such as Arjuna Temple, Sikidang Crater, and Telaga Warna. Listeners, Slamet Budiono edit, there is a new activity in DCF 2017 called Chaping Festival. There are about 3,000 chapings or kinds of cone-shaped hats commonly made of woven bamboo, pandan leaves or a kind of grass or coconut leaves commonly used by traditional farmers to avoid the heat of the sun. The hats will be distributed to visitors who have specialty cats. Besides the chopping, visitors will also get a brush and paint to express and draw the beauty of Dieng above the chopping. In addition to the Chaping Festival, there is also another new event in the DCF 2017 entitled Sendratari Rambut Gembel. For about 60 minutes, tourists will be presented with a dance drama and music that tells the history of hairdressing legend in Dieng. In addition, there is also Lantern Festival. The highlight of the event will be held on Sunday, August 6, 2017 by holding a ritual of hair cutting of curly-haired children. Listeners, that is miscellany for today with the topic Dieng Culture Festival. We will meet again next time with another interesting topic. See you!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Eriwood Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Meet again with me, Alika, in Music Corner. To celebrate Indonesian Independence Day, this edition of Music Corner will present nationality songs from the band Kotak. To open the meeting in this edition, let's listen to a song entitled Satu Indonesia.
Manusia bencana.
listener, the song Satu Indonesia from the Kotak Band. The song Satu Indonesia describes the world condition when people do not care each other and look down other people. The lyrics also encourages Indonesian youth to unite in peace, love, and culture. Satu Indonesia is the first Independence Day of Nuance song released by Kotak Band in their fourth album, Never Dies, in 2014. 10 years before the release of Never Dies album, this rock band was originally formed from a talent searching show. The name Kotak means four sides or four corners that come together into a box. The name also represents four different people but with united vision in music industry. Kotak Band's initial formation at that time consisted of Sela as guitarist, Ichez as bassist, Pare as vocalist, and Posan as drummer. In 2006, the vocalist position was given to Tantri, who has led Kotak Band with her characteristic voice until now. In 2011, Kotak Band was re-abandoned by one member, Posan, as the drummer chose to leave the band to focus on his music project. Though only three members remain, Kotak Band do not change their name. Listeners, before we continue to discuss Kotak Band, let's listen to a song entitled Tanah Airku. Happy listening!
Tanah air, ku tidak ku lupakan, kan terkena selama hidupku, biarpun saya pergi jauh, tidakkan hilang dari kalbu. Walaupun banyak negara
listeners, that's the song Tanah Airku, which is presented by Kotak. The song Tanah Airku depicts the beauty of Indonesia, and the song is created by Madam Sud. The song Tanah Airku was rearranged by Kotak in her seventh album entitled Long Live Kotak in the end of 2017. The latest album release was also marked the return of Kotak band with the complete formation after Tantri's comeback after maternity leave since January 2016. Besides Tanah Airku, the band with the fanbase named Kerabat Kotak also has one more nationality nuance song in Never Die's album. The title is Merah dan Putih. Accompanied by the typical strong rock music of Kotak band, the song Merah Putih describes how the Indonesian flag Sang Saka Merah Putih becomes a spirit and it unites the soul of Indonesian young generation. In the song, Kotak band also states how the soul of nationalism should remain raging and Indonesian people are ready to sacrifice everything for their homeland. Alright, this is the end of Music Corner for this edition about Kotak band. To close this meeting, let's listen to the song Merah Putih by Kotak. Happy listening, listener, and see you in the next edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
sekali saja. Awal kali ku berjumpa dengan dirinya. Kali ini ku temukan cinta dalam hati berbicara. Mungkinkah dia pun merasa
of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Kau bikin ku terpesona. tak bisa menahan lagi meski ada yang memiliki. Aku tak bisa melihat
kau. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, 10011 Indonesia, and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.